Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless. We got a lot of stuff to jump into. We got 60 minutes to get the job done. Welcome to the roundtable of Sports City. We got it all. The second half of the NBA is kicking off right now. Seeing who's going to have the better record in both conferences, Eastern and Western Conference. NCAA basketball, people getting suspended in the NFL. I mean, we got a lot of stuff to jump into, but like I want to get into first and foremost, growing up, around all sports. And I'm talking, football, baseball, basketball, track and field. It goes on and on. Soccer, just thinking about all the sports. And, I'm not going to lie, from letting in my life, from four till I was 14, I played baseball, and my father was an Oakland A's and Yankee fan. He basically followed Reggie Jackson, and even still, when he was a Yankee fan, he was he watched Oakland. My brother's favorite player was Ricky Henderson, and in that time of him watching the Oakland A's, there was a player on that team named Tony Phillips, who I know a great deal about. So I did want to give him his, moment of silence here in the kitchen. He passed on at the age of 56. People that call in, just let me know what's on your mind. If you do want to talk about Tony Phillips or not, I definitely will be reaching into that bag and trying to shed some light on the guy's life and career while he played in the MLB. At the age of 56, moment of silence to Tony Phillips. Okay, Sports City, I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. I'm having a little technical difficulty right now looking at my switchboard. I'm seeing, that I can't get into my links, if you will, so I'm going to dig into the show as best as I can. I do have my co-host and brother here with me. I have Chandler Knight in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening? The switchboard is letting me get in here. If I could get this open or not, Chandler, I do have you trying to get in. The dial is taking forever to let people in. Just vibe with the Sports City as much as you can. I'm trying to get this thing working. Okay. Till I could get this, to let me know that he's okay in the building. I'm gonna try and touch on topics that I can by myself. Until things start to get better here, switchboard wise. I've been dealing with difficulty for the past week and a half here, with Sports City, here in Blog Talk, and I was already set to bounce some of these topics off while he was here with me. I want to talk about the situation that, we have the second half of the season here, the trade deadline, and we have interesting teams that are still in talks about some of the players that are out there. I had it so scheduled differently. First and foremost, the Anderson Varejao situation, they're saying that multiple teams are out there that might be suitable for the free agent. Like Oklahoma City being one of them, they're saying that he may end up going back to Portland, where they are actually waiving the situation, but they're saying that he might try to turn this around and work the deal. Other teams that are trying to get into this conversation as well are making this an interesting discussion for a guy like Anderson Varejao. I'm so frustrated right now that I cannot open up my Switch right now at all. Had a whole different discussion that I was going a different way with. And, drawing a blank. Another situation that I did have that I wanted to discuss as well is the situation about the Rams letting go three of their pieces of the puzzle, if you will, in front of guys like Chris Long, James Laurinaitis, and Jared Cook as well. These three guys, I think, are influential to these guys' success, and they actually got cut today by the Rams. I actually had a discussion with people that I know that everybody's kind of pegging at trying to take all three of these guys, but looking at how big of a salary cap situation would be in front of whatever team ends up picking these guys is considerable to the next season that's coming up for them. But also, how much do they think that these guys have in their bag? I think Jared Cook is one of the tight ends that could actually challenge defenses at the tight end position. You also have a guy in Laurinaitis who is an interesting linebacker as well. I don't really think that he's been given a legit shot on a great defense. I mean, they're big names on a defense that has actually done work, but the Rams haven't been postseason relevant in a while. So, I mean, they do what they need to do. They had an interesting core. Watch a lot of people come and go through out of that defense. And, it, you know, Chris Long situation, I mean, I think he's one of the I don't want to really just throw Premier around and make it look like an easy turn that I could throw out there, but he is a legit defensive end that I don't think a lot of people could wave their hand at and shoot the situation. So I think, you know, a couple of teams could be suited for the guy to be a part of their defense, i.e., you know, the situation that maybe Detroit can jump after, because I would love to see him on the other side of a guy like Ezekiel Ansah. That would be great to see him there. But, you know, just some considerable teams that could pick up an interesting defensive end, a quality linebacker as well. These three are all on the market right now as the Rams make the move from St. Louis to L.A. So I'm wondering if it's more or less a situation that, you know, they don't want to have these, you know, I don't even want to call these guys old, because they're not old. I think they're more or less guys that have been a part of the system. Things haven't really worked out while they are there, or they have been there, and I think they're trying to, you know, destroy and rebuild the situation as best as they possibly can. Okay, so Sports City, I am readjusting on my laptop as I speak. So I do have it open. I should be able to get Chandler in here now. Chandler, are you available?
I've been available, man. You want to try to act like you can't let nobody in, so you can just ramble on.
I'm trying so bad. Believe me, I had a whole discussion set up for everybody, and I'm running one-legged here as I was crippled in this situation. And I also have breaking news, Brian Hughes out of California in the building. Brian, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
Good afternoon, boys. Happy Friday. Glad to join you guys.
Okay, so there's a ton of stuff that we get to talk about. First and foremost, I want to see how you guys feel about this situation with the Rams. Do you think this is kind of an interesting move? Do you think that they should have followed through with letting go of these three guys? I mean, these three guys can be used around the NFL. Brian, I'll go to you first, whether it's Jared Cook, a tight end that has decent speed and good hands. You also have Chris Long, a guy that's decent off the edge as well, and everybody knows the history of his last name. And Laurinaitis as well. I mean, the history of his last name and a different sport. His father was a professional wrestler, but he also did his work from Ohio State till now in St. Louis also. Well, now they're going to be a part of Los Angeles. But all three of these guys are now on the market. Where do you see these guys could potentially end up landing in the NFL?
Well, you know, the only one that's really surprising to me is James Laurinaitis. He's kind of like the emotional leader of that defense. He's still playing at a really high productive level. But when you look at the other two guys, Ty, number one, let's start with Jared Cook. I've heard several reports that, you know, there was some discord between him and the Rams staff as far as how he's been used. Since he's been with the Rams, he's only averaged 45 catches for 540 yards a year. Hardly something that you would call a premier tight end in the league. To me, he's more of a seam stretcher than he is a grinder, a true, you know, every down type tight end. You know, I think he works best as a tight end too, as opposed to a tight end one. I'm not surprised at all about Chris Long. Listen, Chris Long had a massive cap number coming into this year. the Rams have been trying to restructure that number, Ty. Obviously, Chris was not willing to budge on that or not willing to budge enough to make that deal happen, and now he's a free agent. What I'd like to see him do, I mean, obviously, like you said, hey, I'd like to see him in Detroit. I'd like to see him in San Francisco. But what I'd really like to see him do is I'd like to see him play in a 3-4 defense. You go back to his days at Virginia, and he played both the 3-4 and the 4-3 technique. Virginia has a lot of 3-4 principles. He did a lot of stand-up. He did a lot of dropping into coverage. And so I think that that's something he's very capable of doing. There's a list of contending teams that could use a legit pass rusher. I'm sure Chandler would take him on his team, but, you know, the one name that kind of shocks me, Ty, is James Laurinaitis. I think it's really hard to find a guy that high IQ, clean on and off the field, and, you know what I mean, and is highly productive and is an emotional leader. And I would not have moved on from him, but, you know, you start looking at cap figures and cap numbers, and, you know, you hear the rumor mill about, hey, let's make one push to try and get Peyton for the new stadium and this and that. You know, I don't know how far that's going to go, but obviously they're clearing cap space for a reason.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on the situation with some of the players mentioned? And I know your defense is pretty much set, at least at the front seven. But your thoughts on these three guys being cut by the now Los Angeles Rams?
Well, why anybody's talking about, oh, I can't believe he cut James Laurinaitis. James Laurinaitis is an average linebacker. He's a good linebacker. He's no great linebacker. So I don't understand why you singled him out. I would have said Chris Long or the tight end before I said James Laurinaitis. You know, the guy he's a good linebacker. He's not great. He's not average. And if he's the leader of that defense, they got issues because they lost a lot of games on defense they shouldn't have lost. So I'm not surprised he's cut. Chris Long thing, no, I wouldn't want Chris Long on my team because I have a great defense, and I don't need a Chris Long because that means that Muhammad Wilkerson won't be back. Why Chris Long would go to San Francisco, I don't know, because that team is going to stink. I wouldn't go there if I was him. The thing with the tight end, of course the tight end did get utilized because Jeff Fisher's an idiot, and he doesn't know anything about offense, and he keeps picking quarterbacks that are bums. So, of course, the tight end was underutilized. Look at who he's had at quarterback the past five seasons. So, I don't blame the tight end for being upset with how they use them because they saw they didn't use them because they couldn't figure out a quarterback. This is just another example of Stan Kroenke just screwing fans over left and right. Just screwing the fans over left and right. None of these players should have been cut. None of them. This team is going to stink. It's going to stink. You have no quarterback. You took two players that were pretty good in your defense and with the system that you ran. They were good in your system, so you got rid of them, and you got rid of an offensive player, yet you still don't have a quarterback. So let's get rid of a tight end who could be a guy who catches 80 balls, although we don't throw the ball at all. We don't throw the ball. But let's get rid of a tight end in case we actually wind up with a quarterback who utilizes a tight end like, oh, I don't know, take Manning. Since you want to get Manning, why would you get rid of the tight end? None of it makes sense. It's Stan Kroenke just screwing fans over, screwing this organization over so that he can line his pocket.
Okay, Brian, is there anything that you'd like to add to that before we get moving from that? I think we might have lost Brian in that situation. And I don't know, and I do agree with you too, Chandler, that looking at the situation with the St. Louis Rams, now it's going to be tough to make that transition, calling them St. Louis and Los Angeles Rams all over again, or however they look at them. Wherever they're moving to the California area and assigning the city to them. But you already had a very interesting out of the gate season from a guy like Todd Gurley, fresh out of college, and you already start breaking the team up. They're already talking about that they might not even bring Nick Foles back. So you got Nick Foles for a season, don't know if you're going to bring him back, then get rid of an interesting guy like Cook, where I actually think, yeah, he might not be an every down tight end like a, you know, the old school Mark Rivaldo guy that set up on the line and block and get downfield, but he definitely is a threat downfield. He has good speed to either challenge or be a mismatch for a safety that's, you know, undecided to try and deal with him. So I think that he could definitely be an interesting piece to a legit offense that can use his, you know, his accolades or what he brings to a field. Now, looking at Laurinaitis and looking at Long as well, I think the reason why I say Detroit for both of them, Detroit just let go of Stephen Tulloch. And actually, they definitely need a middle linebacker now. And knowing how, you know, you've got guys like Ndamukong Suh, they also let go of C.J. Wilson, they're going to need some interesting names to be a part of that defense. So already, there's a market for these guys immediately. Like, they could be instant-impact players depending on, from what I'm looking at and from what I know right now, that what just happened in the past couple of days in Detroit is some of the situation that I'm throwing out there for these guys. But suitable or not, Laurinaitis is a playmaker at the linebacker position. You also got a situation where Long, I mean, if he gets attention in the middle of that line, I mean, he could beat a lot of these tackles off the edge. So given his situation, whether throughout the NFL who's going to try to take a legit shot at him is something that I think that could happen instantly. But I do throw that out there. Anything else that we have, Chandler, on this before I get away from it?
Yeah, the past two seasons, Chris Long has been injured. This is his eighth season. He's starting to become injury-prone. And you don't want Chris Long. I'm going to tell you that right now. You don't want Chris Long. You don't.
So you think
I don't think going forward, Chris Long, if he plays more than 10 games a season, I'll be shocked going forward. Because also remember, he is undersized. He is undersized at defensive end. He, like his father, he's undersized. So, you know, you have to take that into account. This is eight seasons in for him. He's basically, at this point, he's a one-trick pony now. He's an edge rusher. He's not a guy that you can play every down. So, you know, I mean, if you want him, take him. But I think you'll be sorely disappointed with the production you get for the money that they're going to have to pay him.
Okay, caller number 917-889-9592. We do have people in queue. Press 1. You already know how to get in here. Another interesting standpoint that I had, and this guy actually had baggage before his name severely started to become relevant upon him leaving the college ranks, if you will, and that is Randy Gregory. Now, the interesting thing about Randy Gregory is, you know, him leaving Louisville, he didn't really have the brightest of pass coming to the league. He didn't start out his career the best way that he wanted to. And interesting enough, as of this full season in the NFL, in the 50th you know, season, if you will, so many things have been swirling around the Dallas Cowboys. Now, you have the Greg Hardy situation. You have the Tony Romo going down situation. Now, in the offseason, they already start off with a situation where Randy Gregory is out for the first four games of the next season for substance abuse. And this is a situation where he can't get out of his own way. And knowing how young he is, knowing that the ceiling is high for this guy, I want to see how you guys feel about this one. Chandler, I'll let you set this one off first. Your thoughts on Randy Gregory facing a suspension.
He's a dumbass. He's a dumbass. He had to fail three tests. Coming into the league, with everything that was known about him, he was going to get tested more than other people. That's just a fact. He was going to get tested more than other people. Guys that have a history, they get targeted, fairly or unfairly, okay? You earn the treatment you get in life. So he was already in the program, which meant he was going to be tested more than guys who weren't. You said, no, he wasn't. He was already in the program. He was already in when he got to the league, because of his situation in college, okay? Because of what happened at the combine. See, keep in mind, what happened at the combine put him in the program already. Although, even though it wasn't announced, he was already in the drug treatment program. And then in order to get four games, you got to fail three tests. You got to fail three tests. Not one, not two, not seven, not 11, but three. He's a dumbass. And it doesn't surprise me. Because what the Cowboys, the atmosphere, the environment, the Cowboys coverage when they allowed Greg Hardy to come in there, right? Let me take this all back to Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy showed up late to everything. He's out partying all the time. Greg Hardy was looked at as a leader. Guess who they had teaching Randy Gregory how to play defensive end? Take a wild guess.
That's terrible.
So what did you think was going to happen? Did you think Randy Gregory was going to get some good instruction from Greg Hardy? Remember they lockered him next to Greg Hardy so he could learn from him? What did you think he was going to teach him? How to be a professional? Who surprised at this? Seriously, who's surprised? I'm not. This kid came in there already with you know, one foot over the fence and the other, you know, straddling it. So you connect him with somebody, it's just going to go ahead and pull him on over the rest of the way. Now, is it Greg Hardy's fault he was up to smoke weed? No, it's not. That's on Randy Gregory. He's a grown man. If I got somebody that's standing on a ledge, undecided about which way to jump, I don't want to send a guy up there that's going to whisper in the ear, jump, jump, jump. Okay? I'm just saying. Maybe you send somebody up there and say, don't jump. This is just par for the course for the Cowboys. He's a dumbass. He's going to have to give back $370,000. His next contract is going to be well below market because of this, because his next suspension is 8 games. The next one is a full season. The next one, he's done, if I'm right. Or it might be the next one's a full season, and then he's done. What was it with Josh Gordon? He got 4 games, then he got a full season, right?
Right, did exactly. He got four games, then a full season.
Right.
Right.
So his next suspension is a full season. And I'm correct. So, this kid just cost himself upwards of $60 million. I hope that was some good shit. I hope that shit was outstanding. I hope it was the ball. Because that was a $60 million joint you just smoked, you idiot.
Brian, your thoughts on Randy Gregory and such a young start to his career? I mean, how much damage has he done to the landscape of his career right now?
Well, unfortunately, Ty, we see it time and time again. If you're a guy that can throw the ball or you're a guy that can get after the quarterback, the guy who throws the ball, you're going to be given multiple opportunities in this league because it's a position that's valued. I mean, we've seen several guys come out of college, you know, a.k.a., you know, Tyrann Mathieu, and completely keep his nose clean. And I'm not comparing the guys other than to say, you know, each player is a case-by-case situation. And, you know, you are going to have some guys that grow up kind of overnight and some guys who take a while before they mature. But I do think some of the sentiments of what Chandler is saying do hit home. I mean, if you have an at-risk player, a guy you've invested heavily in, a second-round pick, and you're trying to show him the ropes, you're trying to show him the right way of doing things. Sure, you know what, it's fancy to have the all-pro show him the way to do things, but you know what, he's already got the physical skill set. What he needs is the mental skill set, and unfortunately, I agree with Chandler. I don't think that's something that Greg Hardy can teach him. You know, he needs Greg Hardy aside. You look at Gregory, what he needs is a mental, like a life coach. You know, almost like what they did with Pac-Man Jones, you know, when he was off the handle, literally have somebody there just to kind of escort him around. That's what he needs. He needs like a life coach. And the problem is that for whatever reason, if you pair somebody who's impressionable with somebody who's up to no good, you're going to get up to no good. And that's what happened, Ty. And you know what? It's foolish, but the bottom line is this is the NFL, and as long as he continues to sack the quarterback, he'll continue to get opportunities. But, yeah, he did cost himself a ton of money, and it was a dumb decision. And you know what? You could make lots of excuses, but at some point, you know what? The onus goes on the kid that's 20-plus years old. The onus goes on the organization for pairing these two together. The onus goes on a lot of people. But, you know, the one place the onus should not go is college prospects coming up. You know what? This is an isolated incident, and unfortunately this kid, he got it wrong. Hopefully he learns from it.
Now, Brian, I'll come back to you and throw it back to Chandler afterwards. I mean, what type of situation is in front of Dallas Cowboys team going into this next season? You have, you know, Randy Gregory starting out with being out the next four games or the first four games. You have Tony Romo, who, let's be honest, is injury prone, and, you know, for all the wrong reasons. I really can't just lay it on his shoulders, but he's been in and out of season year after year. Dez Bryant trying to make his way back after an injury-riddled situation as well. I mean, there's so many storylines in front of Dallas. Does this inspire this Cowboy team, or is this a setback that will follow these guys around until they get a cleaner image? I don't want to say a squeaky clean, but I want to say a cleaner image.
I personally think what they need to do is the players in Dallas, they just need to focus on playing football. And not worry about the outside distractions. They still have not even arguably the best offensive line in football, period. They still have two very talented wide receivers. Tony Romo is often injured, but he's not right now, so you can't predict injury. So they still have one of the better quarterbacks in the league. What they need to do is they need to focus on the defense, because the back end of that defense is atrocious, and they need another pass rusher. So we're going to learn a lot, Ty, over the course of free agency, over the course of the NFL draft. We're going to learn a lot about who the Cowboys are and what they've done. But you know what? And this may be a topic for another time, but you know what? Let's give Jerry Jones a small amount of credit. I know it's something that we don't like to do, but this is the same guy that passed on Johnny Manziel to grab the unsexy pick of an offensive guard, and he's been to back-to-back Pro Bowls. Maybe they're starting to finally figure things out.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on this situation. Do the Cowboys have to wait until their image gets cleaner? Do you think that this will follow them all season long? Do you think this will be inspirational until this 2016-2017 season? Your thoughts.
What's the inspiration? Randy Gregory?
Well, everything that's following them, from Greg Hardy's situation, Tony Romo getting back, that Brian getting back, and now this situation with Randy Gregory. I mean, there's so many different storylines following this Cowboy team.
It's the Cowboys. That's what Jerry Jones wants. I mean, they have a bunch of guys who don't handle it well. They don't handle adversity well. And all you have to do is look at how they played when they lost the quarterback. There were games they could have won, and they didn't. Then they lost the wide receiver, and they totally went in the tank. So as long as they have Bryant and Romo, they'll have a chance to win games. If they don't have those two, then it doesn't matter. The coach is a moron, and the owner's an idiot. You have a team full of guys who are mentally weak. So the Cowboys will go as Tony Romo and Dez Bryant. They will go as far as Tony Romo and Dez Bryant can take them. Those are the only two guys on that team that I would consider mentally tough. The rest of them, the rest of them are a bunch of idiots.
All right, and speaking of which, looking at this Cowboys team, I kind of, you know, knowing this is the roundtable, I get to throw this out and see how everybody feels. How big of a window is in front of Tony Romo? As of this season right here, coming up this April, he turns 36. Are they looking at his window similar to Peyton Manning? They're going to wait till he turns 39, 40. He gives you three or four more years of quality football. I didn't want. I really wanted to say premium football, and I don't want to hold his feet to the fire in that light. But it's interesting to look at it like that. Or do they go into the draft and try and pick up a quarterback that is going to be for their future? Chandler, I'll look at you. I'll throw this one to you first, and I do have a caller in queue.
Well, there's no quarterbacks in the draft. I personally think that Robert Griffin should be their backup quarterback. Now, you're hearing all these reasons why he shouldn't be by people who basically don't like the kid. The same people saying he shouldn't be there are people who've been trashed in his entire career. So, you know, grain of salt, that kind of a thing. The Cowboys, listen, the NFC East is terrible. Okay? So as long as Romo and Bryant stay healthy, they have a shot to win the NFC East for the next 3 years. They'll have a shot to win a game in the playoffs. And then depending on how things fall, they might get the NFC Championship game one more time. Well, actually one time. I don't think they've gotten there. No, they think it with Romo once, right? So they have a shot in the next 3 years to get to an NFC Championship game one more time with Tony Romo as quarterback. But keep in mind, Tony Romo has broken his collarbone. Is it three times now in a year and a half?
I think it is three times.
So two or three times in less than 2 years almost, which means that part is susceptible to being broken again because bones, the more you break them, the easier it are to break after the fact. Trust me on that. He's got a bad back. Bad back just get worse. Okay? They just get worse, especially if you're a 350-pound man hitting you and then laying on your back. Okay? So they got about 3 years if Romo stays healthy. If they don't get a backup quarterback who can actually step in and win games, then their window is about an inch wide. If they get a good backup quarterback, say, to me, and again, I think it should be Robert Griffin, then their window is maybe about a half a foot open. But that's all they got.
And this is interesting that you threw Robert Griffin in a situation. Now I'm spiraling all types of out of control here in Sports City because now the Redskins and Kirk Cousins situation has broken apart. So now the Redskins are in an interesting situation where I don't know if they try to throw a boatload of money at Kirk Cousins. I don't think he's worth big money, but he might end up getting it. It depends. They said that they broke off discussions, but we will try and discuss this as briefly as we can. I do have Nacho in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good. What's going on?
Not too much. Your thoughts on the discussion?
excuse me. Sorry about that. I believe it started with the Randy Gregory situation, and I totally agree with what pretty much everyone said. The one caveat I would throw into is that the Dallas Cowboys are, they're more so for the wins and anything and everything to try and win the Lombardi Trophy and try and be in the limelight. At the same time, sometimes the limelight takes more precedence nowadays that we've seen this team. But with the Tony Romo situation, I think it's less than that. I think it's about 2 years at maximum. Maybe a year left. This guy is fragile. That's fence fragile. I really don't think that he's really going to be capable of playing another 16 games without getting hurt. The problem with that is they don't have a viable backup. Like Mike Chandler said, there's going to be no one in this draft worth getting. There's going to be really one or two names out there in free agency that you could probably get that would be worth getting. So at that, to me, the window for them to win, to actually get to the playoffs and potentially be as good as they were maybe 2 years ago, it's really small. It's a year to 2 years, just depending on what they've got going on at the quarterback position. Again, Dez Bryant, I think he can overcome the injury. He'll be back at full strength and be able to do the things that he'll be able that we've seen him do since he's coming to the league. So I'm just really interested in to see what they do at the quarterback position. Again, there is no one in this draft worth spending the high pick that they have for And then getting someone late in the draft and praying that they're any good is another thing. So it's just going to be really, really, you know, at the top of my list to see in the NFC East what they do because they really are in shambles. You know, just all four teams, just, you know, we had a winner by default this year, and it just kind of came down to who didn't mess it up. And it just so happened that the Redskins did, and you know, I didn't know if you were going to hop into that Kirk Cousins situation or not, but yeah, Dallas Cowboys. I think it's a year to 2 years.
I think you guys are down playing Connor Cook a little bit. Connor Cook is a quality quarterback out of Michigan State, man. They at least give Connor Cook some run. No, nobody feel good about Connor Cook coming out. Hey, to each their own. Brian, your thoughts on
the Connor Cook stuff, man. Stop with the Connor Cook stuff. What is it with you Michigan State quarterbacks that you don't grasp the concept that they stink in the NFL?
Listen, I'm not a big Kirk Cousins fan, but Connor Cook did work this year. He did do work this year. So you're not going to give Connor Cook any credit.
And Kirk Cousins was good in college, so was Drew Stanton. How did that work out for them in the NFL, man?
I think Connor Cook has a higher ceiling than the both of them.
Oh, my God, stop it. Go ahead and go to Brian.
Well, Brian, your thoughts on what's going on with Dallas at the quarterback position, knowing that we've all agreed that Tony Romo is an injury-prone quarterback. Do they stick with their guns and run with this guy for the next three or four seasons, or do they look within this draft to try and select a quarterback? And it doesn't really have to be Connor Cook, but anybody of you know, notability coming out of college.
Well, Ty, I follow the draft pretty closely, and I hate to do this to you, man, but I got to agree with Chandler and Nacho. At pick number four, I mean, you look at all the highly touted guys right now, whether it's Wentz or Hackenberg or your guy or Paxton Lynch or Goff. I don't see a guy that resembles Robert Griffin III coming out. I don't see a guy that resembles Andrew Luck. And if you're drafting in the top five, that's what you're expecting to get. You're not expecting to get a project that's going to sit on the bench the next 3 years. Now, I understand, you know, Aaron Rodgers was drafted in the first round and sat for 3 years, but that was also on a championship-caliber team at pick number 26. When you look at the amount of needs the Dallas Cowboys have, to me it would almost be foolish to take a quarterback at number four overall. They have way too many pressing needs. If Bosa's there, obviously with the conversations we've had, they could definitely use a pass rusher. You got linebacker. You got Miles Jack. I mean, there are so many different ways that they could potentially use this pick and better the team than a quarterback. Because realistically, even if, let's say, Jared Goff is the guy and he turns out to be a great quarterback, we're not going to know that he's a great quarterback for 3 years. And you know what? Aaron Rodgers has been great for Green Bay, but there's nobody that's going to convince me that for the 4 years that he was riding the bench that everybody thought, man, I'm sure glad we grabbed Aaron Rodgers to ride the bench for 4 years. They're just not at that elite level yet. There's a reason why they're drafting at number four overall. So I got to agree with these guys. Now, as far as grabbing a quarterback, Ty, I think it makes much more sense to wait till round two. You know, outside of Cleveland, who is going to reach for a quarterback, whoever Hugh Jackson likes, I don't think there's any guy in this draft that people are going to look at and say, man, I absolutely have to have this kid. He's a top five talent. I don't. I mean, somebody else could feel that way, and I get it. People fall in love with people. But my point being is, you know, remember how talented Christian Hackenberg looked when Bill O'Brien was there. You know, a lot of people are saying, hey, he may go 22 overall to Houston. Tom McShay had him going as the number one rated quarterback coming into the season before Franklin, you know, the whole Franklin debacle. And the point being is when you start looking at the amount of quarterbacks there are between Lynch and Connor and Hackenberg and Goff and Wentz, more than likely there's going to be one of those guys available come round two, and I think you feel much better about taking one of those guys in round two and developing them there rather than taking them with the number five overall pick. With the number five overall pick,
I think we can all agree, you need a slam dunk. You need like a surefire all-pro, surefire, you know, guy that's going to lead you kind of AKA to the promised land. And, you know, when you look at which positions, you know, are safe, which players are safe, quarterbacks are just not a very safe position to begin with. And the fact that Tony Romo is going to be playing for probably at least two more years, Ty, I don't think it would be a good idea. And I totally disagree with Chandler on the Robert Griffin talk. I think he'd be perfect in Chip Kelly's spread.
Now, here goes the interesting situation.
I'll take the black quarterback. I'm white. I will take the black quarterback.
Here goes an interesting situation that I look at right now for the Dallas Cowboys. Where outside of, you know, secondary situation where they actually get some of their pieces back in this upcoming situation in their season? Because, honestly, if Tony Romo gets sacked again and gets hurt, they're looking at Kellen Moore again. There's no guarantee that they get RG3 unless they end up going after a guy like Kaepernick, which Kaepernick is out there on the loose. Now, there's a couple of quality quarterbacks that you look at. You got Lynch. You got the kid Hogan that I actually forgot about out there at Stanford as well, too, who's also a mobile quarterback that can throw the ball, too. So there are names out there that they could go after. Now, I don't know if they – I do agree that they might look outside of the, you know, the quarterback realm of things at the fifth pick in the draft, but knowing that those names might not be there at the end of the day.
Ty, here's the issue with that, though. Hold on.
You win. You win already. Hold on. You have that.
Okay.
Already.
So did you? You did too.
Yeah,
you do.
There is not a quarterback in this draft, Ty, that's worth a first round pick. Robert Griffin won't work with Chip Kelly because Chip Kelly doesn't want anyone with a personality bigger than his. I don't know why everybody tend to gloss over that fact and act like, oh, since he's going to Frisco, now he's going to change. Chip Kelly hasn't changed. Chip Kelly thinks he's still more important than the players. So Frisco's going to suck. Robert Griffin, run far, run fast if Frisco comes calling. Now, you said that you don't know if the Cowboys won't know if Griffin's out there. First of all, every quarterback that's going to be available that's not a draftable one as far as guys getting cut, they all have to be cut by March. The draft is after March. So they will already have an opportunity to pick up a quarterback before the draft. There is not a quarterback in this draft that, if they draft him and Tony Romo gets hurt, can win games in the NFL. Not one. All of them are projects. All of them. Hackenberg is stiff. He doesn't know how to get off his first read. And he's just not good. He's got a big arm. Okay, there's a lot of guys with big arms that stick at quarterback. You know, the kid from Stanford, he's not ready to be an NFL quarterback. None of them are.
Okay, Brian, I heard you trying to say something. I'm going to get Nacho involved in the conversation as well, and then I'll move away from the topic.
No, I mean, Chandler already kind of hit the point. There is nobody in this draft, Ty, that is worth that could be that backup guy. I mean, you talk about quarterbacks coming out of college like Kellen Moore and his 40-plus starts. There is just not a lot of those guys coming out. I mean, you look at Goff and Lynch and some of these guys. I mean, either A, they don't have many starts, or B, they've been through two or three systems already. So I don't think any of these guys are coming out with the confidence level of a franchise quarterback, a guy you can go, hey, week one, this kid could take over and he could be something special. They're all going to be projects. Now, you know, I don't care if Chandler hates Chip Kelly, don't like him, whatever. I don't necessarily love him. All I know is he got to Philly. They were 4-12. The next year they were 10-6. The next year they were 10-6. He got a little power hungry, which we all agree, and they stunk. But you know what? The man can coach offense. And you know what? The only player that he got rid of that had a big personality, per se, was Shady McCoy. And the only reason Shady McCoy had an issue with it is because the two most productive years he's had in his entire career were under Chip Kelly.
He didn't get rid of DeSean Jackson?
Yeah,
he didn't get rid of DeSean Jackson?
DeSean Jackson got rid of himself.
No. Did he get rid of DeSean Jackson? Yes. Did he get rid of Jeremy Maxwell? Yes. How many players? There's 10 players he got rid of. He's the only player he got rid of.
He didn't get rid of Jeremy Maclin. He didn't get rid of Jeremy Maclin. Jeremy Maclin signed as a free agent elsewhere. He didn't cut
Jeremy
him.
Jeremy Maclin
didn't
want to come back. He didn't want to stay and try to sign him, so he got rid of him.
That's not getting rid of him, Chandler.
Yes, it is.
Totally
if you
different.
Try not to try, no, it's not. If you refuse to sign a guy, then you're getting rid of him. You're basically telling
he didn't say he refused to sign him. They knew what the market was going to be for Jeremy Maclin in a weak receiver market, and they weren't going to pay it because in his offense
but
where you have
Riley
four
Cooper.
Or five
but they paid Riley Cooper. But they paid Riley
did they
Cooper.
Did they pay Riley Cooper number one wide receiver money? No.
Okay,
no,
who would you rather have, Maclin or Cooper? Who would you rather have, Maclin or Cooper?
Everybody would rather have Maclin, but you know what? If I could get Maclin for $7 million a year as opposed to $15 million, yeah, I'll take Maclin, but you
or
can't.
Or you could have got rid of Cooper and signed Maclin. Oh, by the way, he got rid of 10 players. 10 players that everybody knows has personality. By the time he got done, he knows no one there with personality. No one there. That's a fact, man. Okay, you listen, that's your coach, you want to defend him, you can have him. But trust and believe that he's going to get rid of anybody on the San Francisco 49ers that he thinks has an outside personality. And his idea of an outside personality is anyone with a brain that's willing to talk to the media.
Okay, Nacho, your thoughts on the discussion at hand right now is heating up.
You know, I see it's heating up. I can't really go either way with it. To me, to be honest, I already know. I think the kids kind of know how I feel about Chip Kelly in general. I think he's a coach that is tailor-made with a system for the college level. I think he can make it work at the NFL level if he could step back and you know, like you said, not be power-hungry. But I just don't know if that's possible or if it's possible for him. We're going to have to see. To me, like I said, I'm on the fence with it. I could care either way, but as it pertains to him, you know, working in San Francisco, they most definitely have a quarterback that can run a system that he likes to run. There are quarterbacks that are going to be available that can run that system. So, you know, it is up to him whether or not he wants to make it work, to be honest. If that front office can get him the players and make it right, as it pertains to getting him the right players for that system and not letting him kind of be power hungry, then we might be able to see it work. But we saw what happened in Philly the first couple of years when he wasn't in total control. And we saw what happened when he slowly gained control and he slowly was able to take away players, take away talent because of either arguments or whatever, you know, rumors or whatever may be between the two participants, the player and the coach. But, you know, if he doesn't have that power just to whimsically get rid of people or, you know, not try as hard as he should have to keep players, if he doesn't have that ability more or less than just an opinion, then more power to the Niners, and I think that they're better off. But they start giving him more power, we obviously know what's going to happen. We'll see a repeat of what happened in Philly.
And this narrative that because they won 10 games the first two seasons, that's good. They made the playoffs the first season and lost. They didn't make the playoffs in the second season. They didn't make the playoffs in the third season. That's trending in the wrong direction. So if you're content as a football fan with your team winning 9 or 10 games and not making the playoffs, then you can have Chip Kelly. If you're content with your defense being burnt out by the second half of the season because they're on the field for three times as many plays as your offense, knock yourself out. If you're content with injuries piling up and piling up and piling up because guys are on the field too long on defense, if you're content within the second half of the season losing games because your defense is worn out, if you're content with getting a quarterback like Sam Bradford or Mark Sanchez, then go forth and God bless. You can ask Chip Kelly. I want a little bit more than that for my team. By the way, this 49ers fan, I'm the one who said your team would win four games. I'm the one who said your team would win the first game of the season, and you told me I didn't know what I was talking about. Who turned out to be right?
They didn't win four games on the season, by the way.
How many did they win?
They won five.
How many did they win?
They won one more.
You said they wouldn't even win that, first of all. You said they wouldn't even win that. And when I told you they were going to win the season opener, you told me I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. Ty, am I lying?
No, you're lying. I never said that they wouldn't win their season opener. You said
Ty,
they would win four games.
Ty, pull
and
up
I said
tape.
You were crazy. They
Ty,
would
pull
win
up your tape because I called the game they won. I called the game they won. I said they're going to win the season opener. You said, I don't know what I'm talking about. They're going to win the season opener. Minnesota Vikings are on the roll.
After the fact, it's always easy to say who won and lost. I never said that they weren't going to win the opening night.
You didn't show up for the football season. You didn't show up for the football
what?
Season because of how bad New York team did. You weren't even here on Sundays. So I'm going to pull your card. You weren't even here.
You can pull my card if you want. Some of us got to work.
Okay, that's what it was. That's what it was. That's what it was. That's what it was, but
that's what
it was. That's
what it was.
Okay.
Do you really think I give a shit enough about you in my life that I would not show up to talk sports because you said my team was going to lose and they actually did? I'm sorry. You're not that fucking important.
Well, one, I didn't curse at you, but since you want to go there like that, I know that when your
go
team
ahead.
Loses or you turn out to
Bring
be
it.
Wrong, you don't show up. That's what I know. I
Whoa.
Know that when you
okay,
turn out to be wrong, you don't show up. That's what I know. I know that you show up and you say nonsense like, well, I'm not an expert, but then you want
to
give an opinion. If you're not an expert, then don't give an opinion.
Finally good. Congratulations. We've experienced that the last 3 years. Congratulations.
Okay. Everybody back. Calm down. Okay. Now, interesting enough on this situation I had. Matter of fact, I'm getting away from it. I'm getting away from that. I didn't even expect it to get there. Another situation I wanted to touch on, and this is actually the close of the night, is to see how the second half of this season was going to go for the NBA. And I also had the Tony Phillips situation I wanted to talk about too, because I actually followed the end of his career in the MLB. I wanted to see how people felt about him also. I think more or less Brian and Chandler will probably know more about Tony Phillips throughout his duration or some of the duration of his career in the MLB as well. But, you know, just looking at tonight's matchup, this is the last time Kobe Bryant will be playing up against San Antonio Spurs. I wanted to touch on that. Or we could touch on the Tony Phillips, which I think he deserves more ground because we'll have way more time to talk about Kobe. And I will do that. I will get the Tony Phillips situation. Knowing that he did play baseball out there in California and on several teams throughout the MLB, I'll start with you first on this one, Chandler, and then I'll go to Brian on this one. Any, you know, memory that you could think of on Tony Phillips' career while he played ball in the MLB?
No, he was a utility guy, hardworking guy, hard-nosed player, throwback guy. I mean, I was never a fan of Tony Phillips, honestly. So he was a hard-nosed player. He was a guy that if he was on your team, you loved him. If he wasn't, you couldn't stand him. He was never on my team. I couldn't stand him.
I know he was a speedster, left-hander at the plate as well. Ryan, anything else that you'd like to throw out about Tony Phillips before we all start to get closing here in the kitchen?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you said speedster, Ty, because I kind of thought he was kind of like the poor man's Ricky Henderson on his own team. Played second base. He was very, very good with the glove. I do agree with Chandler that, you know, you look at that team, multiple superstars during that era when they won it all. You had Eckersley, Stewart, Canseco, McGuire. I mean, just big name after big name, and every one of those guys loved him. You know, I don't think he would ever be considered a key cog, but you know what? Every championship team needs role players, And he was that guy. He was a guy that would get on base. You know, he could go first to third or second to home on a single, and he played the game the right way. He was a guy that hustled a lot, and he'll be missed.
And it's interesting you kind of do the comparison to him and Ricky. You know, watching these two go at it, and he had surprising power. He had pop. I won't say power. He had surprising pop at the plate, and was a part of that 89 team as well in Oakland. Knowing that he's dying at a young age, or he died at the age of 56, pretty young, definitely wanted to give him his due here in the kitchen before we actually started to close up things at the round table. And these things happen in the kitchen, man, and I asked for heat in the kitchen, man, but I didn't want it to be that way, man, and I hope we can clear our minds throughout the weekend and come back to where we need to be, man. But I need plus closeouts from each of you. Nacho, I'll start with you first here at the round table. Anything that you like to promote or close out with?
You know, at Nacho on the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it was a pretty heated discussion today. Brian Chandler, thanks for coming in and let me say what I had to say earlier. There were some things that, I missed out on. I was driving earlier. I couldn't really talk. I had passengers and whatnot. So, I'll save some of that for the brunch. But the overwhelming thing of today, nice. Got hot up in here. As hot as it is out here, because it's like 90 out here again. All right, man. Thanks for letting me come on. You have a good one.
Definitely. Brian, give me a plug, close out, shout out. Anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the round table?
Well, I just want to say, I appreciate always being on with you guys. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs. Baseball season is right around the corner, boys. First spring training just kicked off. Definitely looking forward to the MLB season and talking a little bit more MLB as we move closer.
Yeah, and pitchers and catchers will be arriving soon, and they already are throwing the ball around at their spring camps and such. And we are trying to put a baseball show together, so y'all stay tuned to that. Chandler, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the round table.
I'm good, man. Say what I needed to say.
SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chef. Stay tuned throughout the weekend. I'm trying to put another show together tomorrow as we get to the thick of things for this weekend coming up. NBA and college basketball, as soon as we are literally 10 days from the doorstep of March, so the March Madness will be here. Second half of the NBA season, I did want to talk about, the game tonight. But I'll save it, man. I definitely want to try and keep everything calm and collected here in the kitchen, man. And the discussion gets hot in the building as much as possible, man. I apologize on how the show began, dealing with a lot of technical difficulty. Blog Talk, fix this, man. Enough is enough. Fix this. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
We did it like that, and now we do it like this. Did it like that, and now we do it like this.
Yeah. Now, block, kids, who got the cocaine? Don't tell me it's the little kids on boat train. The metaphor sent from my brain to my jaw. It comes from other places, not the tinted faces. You're